2014 was a record-setting year for the Park Service, with visitation at an all-time high. More than 290 million people traipsed through the national parks last year, the highest total since 1987. And with 2016 marking the park's centennial celebration, that number could rise. So how is the Park Service coping with all the wear and tear? Here with more on the parks and the new push to attract visitors is Jonathan Jarvis. He's the 18th director of the National Park Service. Mr. Jarvis, great to have you back.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be here.
All right, so 290 million people, that's almost everybody in the United States, went to a national park last year. What effect did all that have on the parks?
Well, we like to have so many visitors. We love to see the public coming and enjoying their national parks. And actually, I didn't hear any reports of any significant problems from this spike in visitation. We've been hovering for years around 285 million. So though this was a record year up to 292, I didn't hear of any real significant issues. You know, they were crowded. Staff was working hard, but I think what I've heard is the public had a great set of visits.
Now, you should maybe take a moment to describe the range of what constitutes a national park, everything from Yosemite down to some very tiny little areas, correct?
Absolutely. There are 407 what we call units of the national park system, and they range everything from the Statue of Liberty to the Washington Monument here in Washington, D.C., to Yellowstone, Yosemite, the Grand Canyon, Mount Rainier, the parks in Alaska, Virgin Islands National Park, all the way out to Guam, where we tell the story of the war in the Pacific. So from Civil War battlefields to civil rights sites, the Congress and past presidents have bestowed on the National Park Service responsibility to tell America's story, and we tell that story through these extraordinary places.
And do you have any state and local or, I guess, state partners in the maintenance and operation of parks, or is this purely a federal operation?
We have a lot of great partners. We have a lot of parks that we call partnership parks, where we are partnered with either the state or, in some cases, a nonprofit that help us. But inherently, most of the work is a federal responsibility. We do get a federal appropriation. I have a large staff, about 22,000 employees, and we hire about maybe 8,000 seasonals. That's folks that work, you know, in the peak season, the summers. And I have 250,000 volunteers.
All right, and I wanted to ask you about that issue of wear and tear, because I know a few years ago the Park Service had a really large backlog, I think billions, in some of the work that it had to do to maintain some of the parks. What is the status of the backlog now, and how are you with respect to funding to keep things from getting overly trampled or repairing them when they do?
That's a great question, Tom. Well, we still have a very large backlog. Our maintenance backlog is about $11 billion. About half of that is roads. I heard on the radio this morning there was a pothole on the George Washington Memorial Parkway that was blocking traffic. Well, that's my road.
I know that pothole. I think it's right before the exit to the 14th Street Bridge.
I think it is. So here in Washington area, that's a good example of roads that are the responsibility of the National Park Service, whether it's the Memorial Bridge or the GW Parkway. These are National Park Service responsibilities. And across the nation, whether they're the Going to the Sun Highway in Glacier or the circuit roads in Yellowstone, those are our responsibilities. And they're federal responsibilities under the Federal Highways Program. And so about half of our backlog, roughly $5 plus billion, are our backlog of potholes and need to fix the roads. The other half, Park Service has, in terms of infrastructure, and that is buildings, trails, structures, we're second only to the Department of Defense in total inventory. And much of what we have is historic. We have presidential homes and places like Independence Hall, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument. These structures that are incredibly important to America are our responsibility to maintain and host 292 million visitors that come in every day. And so taking care of them is our job. So a couple things. One is the FY16 budget that the president has put forth has a significant request in it for our maintenance backlog. And we're hoping that the Congress sees fit to appropriate that funds. We also have a piece of them there called our Centennial Challenge, which is an appropriation that would be matched with non-federal dollars, as in philanthropic dollars. And if you remember, we repaired the Washington Monument here a couple of years ago with that beautiful scaffolding with a donation from David Rubenstein. We matched his $7.5 million with our $7.5 million from appropriations for a $15 million repair project. And so there are places that we can leverage appropriated dollars to address the backlog. And then, as I like to say, nobody's going to give me money to fix the sewer treatment plant in Yosemite, but it still needs to be fixed. So there are needs on appropriation side, but I think there's also opportunity to leverage for some of these iconic sites as well.
We're speaking with Jonathan Jarvis. He's the 18th director of the National Park Service. And I want to talk about people for a moment. I saw one of the, I think it's a CBS Sunday morning TV show recently, had a piece about the winter keeper at Yosemite. And he's the single individual in the whole place all winter and getting up there on roofs and pushing on. And he's 70 years old, pushing snow off roofs and making sure the bison don't freeze and all this kind of stuff. It seems like the Park Service attracts a certain kind of maybe iconoclast in some cases, or just loners that like to do this.
Well, we do have some lonely places that particularly in the low season in the winter. I worked in Alaska for 5 years at Wrangell St. Elias National Park and Preserve, which is somewhat out in the middle of nowhere. We do attract a unique set of individuals, both men and women, that are quite willing to devote their lives and their skills to this work. They live in cabins or in facilities that a lot of people wouldn't necessarily want to live in, or places they don't want to live in. But they are extraordinary individuals. They have incredible skills. They love the mission of the National Park Service. They love presenting these places to the American public, and they love taking care of them. And I love being associated with them. It's probably the most fun I have is to get out and spend time with these individuals that are working in the field.
All right, let's look at some of the numbers. The Golden Gate National Recreation Area had the highest, 15 million people. That must be highly accessible because it's right there in San Francisco, correct?
It is. It's got places like Crissy Field, Ocean Beach. It is sort of the gateway to San Francisco Bay and the Pacific Ocean. Incredible set of trails, great historic resources, the beaches, all of which are our responsibility, both from a resource and a visitor experience standpoint, and law enforcement as well. All of that search and rescue, all of that is on our shoulders.
And how do you count people so accurately, 15,004,420?
Well, we've been counting people in our national parks for a long time, and we do regular social science in terms of entry points. We do surveys. We count visitors per car load, and we really do pay a lot of attention to this. We don't make these numbers up. Periodically, we have to make adjustments to how we're collecting this data, and then we do evaluations on it as well. Now, some parks are easier to count than others. If you're going to Yosemite, pretty much everybody goes through an entrance point, a little easier to count. In a place like Golden Gate, you know, we're not counting everybody that's commuting across the Golden Gate Bridge every morning, or the numbers would be a lot higher. They're not visitors to the park, but the people that are actually recreating in the park, they're spending time on in the park for either a visitor experience or recreation, they get counted.
All right, so tell us about the centennial celebration planned for, is it 2016 or next year?
It's 2016, August 25th, 2016. The National Park Service will be 100 years old. And so we're looking at it in a couple different ways. One is that, of course, it's great to celebrate this fantastic, unique institution, the America's Best Idea, as Wallace Stegner said. It's an idea that was absolutely American, created in this country. No other country had anything like it. It was founded here and now has spread around the world, and there are national park systems in hundreds of countries around the world. But United States can claim we created it. The first national park was Yellowstone, of course. But we're not just going to celebrate. We're really thinking about our second century. How do we connect with and create the next generation of park visitors, supporters, and advocates for the national park system? So in April, we'll launch a public awareness campaign in partnership with our foundation and many of our partners, like our concessioners and the travel and tourism sector and the state parks and sort of the larger public lands community, to really build a relationship with the American people, this next generation that's out there, the sort of 18 to 35 year old that maybe doesn't know that the national parks are out there, maybe doesn't know that there's a national park near them. And so we really want to connect with them and invite them to come participate in these extraordinary places and learn a little bit about their country, because that's what our job is, to really tell the American story.
So you might have to give Smokey Bear a tattoo.
I'm not sure Smokey would sit still for that.
But he's not going anywhere soon, is he?
No, not that I know of. But we want everybody to come take a look. So I'm hoping that these kinds of numbers not only will be sustained, but the numbers themselves will represent the broad, complex demographic of America as well.
All right. Jonathan Jarvis is the 18th Director of the National Park Service. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom. Take care.